going to talk about training without expectations. We begin Buddhist practice or any kind of meditation practice because we want something. Otherwise, we'd never start. We want something. We're not happy with the way things are, or we're not happy with the way we are. And what we want takes different forms for different people. Maybe you want enlightenment, peace of mind, freedom from suffering, freedom from being me, you know, happiness. You want to stop creating suffering for other people or for ourselves. Or you want to see things as they really are. All different kinds of ways that we think of what we want. Why am I doing this? You know? What we'd really like, of course, is to be enlightened. That's what we'd really like, to be supremely enlightened, to be totally wise, beyond all suffering, pain, no problems, everything is fine. You know, I'm completely wise, at ease, happy, and all my problems have gone away. And this is actually the idea that's usually somewhere at the back of our mind. Even after many years of training, this little thought, when I'm wise, it'll be okay. You know, maybe next week I'll be wise. Maybe next time I have to do a Dharma talk, I'll be wise and have something to say. Maybe in a year or two I'll be wise or enlightened or better or something, or at least different, you know. And, you know, here we are. just this thought that if I had this great prize of enlightenment, you know, then I'd have all the other things. I'd be happy and at ease and I'd know, you know, what's what and all that. We'd be different. We'd be kind and wise. We wouldn't be as we are now. Everything will be fine. I won't have to worry anymore, you know. And of course, there's something of a contradiction in this. Here I am, wanting to be enlightened, wanting to stop wanting, because wanting brings suffering, you know. And it'd be just nice to just be able to sort of stop all that, just let it all go and relinquish. And of course, we know it's not that simple, this thought of getting the great prize. I am clearly not enlightened, so maybe, you know, if I was, it would be just like that, but I don't think it's that simple. I think we do have more peace of mind as we go on in training. We do have less suffering. We do create a lot less suffering. We do become happier and nicer. We really do. And yet, we still have problems and stuff, you know. We're not so blinded by our desires and our feelings. We do see more clearly. But our problems don't all go away. We just get better at dealing with them. Both our external circumstances, we learn to accept those things better. And our own failings and shortcomings that we feel so painfully when we begin, you know, I wish I wasn't so selfish or so angry or so despairing or afraid or whatever. They don't all just go away, but we get better at dealing with them. We don't suddenly become some perfect being who never makes a mistake or gets upset or has a selfish thought. I don't think we do dwell in perpetual bliss. You know, not in this world anyway, because we've still got our karmic tendencies. We still have this body that gets sick and dies and all that. We still lose people we love. We still have things that happen. Bad things happen to us. But it's better. It's much better. Because we can accept things more easily. We stop expecting life to be as we'd like it to be. And we know the world doesn't revolve around us and what we want. And this is the clue. We actually stop expecting something else or something different, or that we are going to be completely different. We accept, and this is the key to the whole thing, I think, that we accept ourselves, our circumstances, and do what we can with them. It's not something we figure out. It just kind of creeps up on us gradually. We gradually change. So, expectations. any kind of expectation is a setup for disappointment. There's some little neat little phrase like expectations are the prerequisite for disappointment or something like that. I couldn't find it, but I think some of us know what it is. Anyway, you have an expectation, you're setting yourself up, you're on the track for disappointment because that's how it works. The more we expect, the more disappointed we're going to be because things never work out the way we'd like. We don't work out the way we'd like. Other people don't do what we'd like, you know. Expectations of others. We expect them to behave in certain ways and not to behave in other ways. And this doesn't always happen. And this expectation is based, of course, on judgment. My opinion of how people should be, how they should behave, and my opinion of how they are, you know. And both can be completely wrong. I can be totally wrong about somebody. I can be completely wrong about a situation. I can totally misread it. I can have a totally different experience from another person of what just happened, you know. Other people have different assumptions from me. Other people have different backgrounds, different experiences. We come from a whole totally different culture. We all know that, the different cultural expectations when you just totally miss because your view of what should be happening is different. And if you know that, then you can adjust. But if you don't know that, you sort of miss, you know. Someone else may do something that we think is wrong or unkind. But we may not know why they're doing it, you know. We have this expectation they're going to do something. They do something totally different. Because they see things in a different way. They have a different expectation or a different view, a different perception. They may have reasons we know nothing about, and if we knew them, we'd understand. And if we can give other people the benefit of the doubt and not just say, oh, look at that person, they didn't do the right thing, you know, but think, well, I don't know why they did that, but there must be a reason. And just not make a harsh judgment because they're not living up to our expectation, then we can save a lot of grief for them and ourselves because we're not expecting someone to do something, they don't do it, we're disappointed. Expecting someone else to be perfect, idealizing somebody, that's another thing. If we think the monks are perfect, we're going to be disappointed. Clearly the monks are not perfect. We're just trying to do our best. And we make mistakes, you know, we try to keep to the precepts, follow the Dharma, and we mess up sometimes. Certainly not perfect. Then there's other people's expectations of us, you know, people expecting us to be different. And then we fall short of their expectation, or we didn't do what they had hoped, or we somehow missed the ball. Or they felt we missed the ball. They thought they saw it and we didn't see it at all, you know. And this happens, you know, it happens. Maybe they were unrealistic. And maybe we can learn something. Maybe we didn't do as well as we might have. Maybe we didn't see very clearly. Maybe we were a little thoughtless, you know. We can look and see when you've disappointed somebody and not lived up to their expectation. Maybe there's a little bit of something that we can learn there, you know. Did I just completely miss something, you know? Expectations of ourselves. This is the rich field of suffering. We can set up an ideal of perfection for ourselves that is completely impossible for any person to live up to, least of all us. We try to keep to the precepts, we make mistakes. And if we drag ourselves through flaming coals for, you know, making a mistake, breaking a precept, not doing what we might have done, we just add suffering. But if you can just look and learn something and then let it go and move on, it saves a whole lot of grief. But that expectation that I should be perfect, I should be living up to some ideal, and, you know, it's a setup for disappointment right there. And disappointment in ourselves is more painful than being disappointed in another person, because we're the people we were trying to deal with, you know. There has to be compassion and forgiveness of others and of ourselves, especially ourselves, because that's the thing we find hardest. Expectations in training. Expectations that we will be deeply meditating, deeply wise, that we'll have some kind of experience that will completely help us, as I mentioned earlier, that something will happen and we'll suddenly be different. If you had some religious insight or some kind of an experience, this can create an expectation that we'll be able to get it back or be able to perpetuate it or just go back to there whenever we want. And this doesn't happen. We can't get it back. We have to move on. But we can think, well, I had this experience. Why am I not having it now? I must be failing. I must be falling short in some way, because that seemed, you know, that happened then. Why isn't it happening now? What am I missing? What am I not doing? But actually, it's just fine. We don't have these things happen all the time. We couldn't live there. You may have an insight that comes as a gift that we can then use to the good, to help ourselves, to help other beings, to help us to see more clearly and practice kindness, not to beat ourselves over the head with, because we're not there all the time. Somebody was talking to me recently about, like, had a time when they had a profound love for all beings. It just came to them, this deep love for all beings. And they thought, great, you know. Then it went away. And they thought, why can't I love all beings anymore? What am I missing? You know, what am I not doing right? And actually, they weren't doing anything wrong at all. It was just that it came and went. But you can remember, there is that love for all beings, which isn't just me. It's not me causing this. It just comes through me. Now you see it, now you don't. And that's how it seems to be. But not to make a suffering out of something that's actually joyful and good, you know. Not to turn it into a knife. Sometimes we have insights. Sometimes we seem to be just slogging through the desert. Some people seem to be more prone to insights and experience. And as I say, they can be disappointed if they don't have them a lot, but it's quite normal to have different times. We still have to do the work on our selfishness, no matter who we are and how our training manifests. Some of us are specialists in desert slogging, and I am one of them. Slogging through the desert for years and years and years. And the advantage of this is you don't expect a whole lot. But you have to be careful of the other thing. We're thinking, I just slog through the desert. Nothing ever happens to me. I don't have any insights. I don't have any of these kinds of things. I just slog on through the desert. Because you have to actually be able to look up and see the garden, you know. You can be slogging through the desert, and sometimes all you have to do is turn around. There's the garden right there. And you've missed it because you're slogging through the desert. So expectation, it's still an expectation. Thinking I'm just a desert slogger and my life's always going to be this way, it's another kind of expectation and it's another limit. So it's just the same as the other one. Thinking something's going to be a certain way and it's not, you know. In training, most of the time, change comes gradually. Most of the time, we don't even notice it. Until we look back and we see that actually the darkness has lightened, you know. If we're prone to great despair or suffering, we're always prone to suffering, but there's some heavy kind of weight of despair or anguish in some way. It doesn't shift overnight. We just need to be patient with ourselves and just keep on going and not to think we're doing something wrong. We may just be a desert slogger. And as I said, the darkness does lighten. And when we look back, we can see that change. Something has changed. Actually, it's better. And even a little lightness can greatly encourage us. And then sometimes it gets dark again, but we don't have to worry because overall things get better. We may have had many lifetimes of despair that we are now working on. It doesn't happen overnight. So just not to be impatient, just to keep on the way. Great Master Dogen said, training and enlightenment are one. You've heard this many times. Training and enlightenment are one. This is radical because many of us think training is the thing that leads to enlightenment. You know, if I train really hard and I'm really good, I'll get enlightened. And Dogen says, training is enlightenment. You don't have to go anywhere. We still do the work. You know, there's no doubt about that. We do the work. We keep to the precepts. We meditate. We do the best we can. And yet, we are manifesting our enlightenment, our innate enlightenment, even now, as we try to do our best. We don't have to go somewhere else. We don't have to wait for the prize. We have the prize. We just don't know what it is. We have it. Training is the very manifestation of enlightenment. If we were supremely enlightened, we'd still be training. You know, the Buddha kept on training. He didn't go away and drink beer or something. He just kept on with his training because that's what you do. And the more deeply you go on, the more it becomes a part of your life. And in our meditation practice, this is what it means when we say we just sit. To just sit, you know, not trying to get something, not trying to do something, not trying to attain some special state. I'll get to some special state. Then I'll be meditating, you know. I think we have this idea, but where's that special state? I don't have a special state. What am I not doing, you know? And in fact, it's so simple that we miss it. All we have to do is actually just sit here in this body with this very mind, even this distracted mind, as it is, with our feelings, our thoughts, the stuff that's happened to us, the temper we may be in, or whatever, just to sit right in the middle of all that and let it all come and go. Because it's not somewhere else. It's right here. Just sitting, just that, is the very manifestation of our practice and enlightenment. So we find ourselves striving for something, trying to do something or get somewhere. Maybe we just need to back off a little and just sit here as wholeheartedly and with as much presence of mind as we can, just here with this body and mind, with all its imperfections and all its stuff, and let everything just come through, not clinging on to our little temper or our sadness or whatever it might be, just letting it all go through, just sitting there, right in the middle of all of it. We can't force our meditation practice, we can't force our training. And if we're striving too hard, we're trying to get something, and we need to let go, relinquish, not be trying to get something. Letting go, training without expectations, is the practice of letting go. Letting go of what we think we are, of what we think we want, of what we think we'd like to be, or what we ought to be, of what, you know, training should be. Just relinquishing all that and simply sitting here, just sitting, just being here, whether we're sitting, walking, standing, talking, whatever, just this, it's not somewhere else. We still make the effort, do the very best we can to keep to the precepts and to practice kindness and all that. But there's not that striving and wanting something else, wanting something different. You know, if I was really training, I'd be different. Training for the sake of training. It's said that at first we start Buddhist training for ourselves, First we train for ourselves, because we want something. It's the only way to start, as I said. Then we train for others, to help other beings. And then we train for the sake of training. Because we have to do it, we can't stop. And it is our very life. It is the fabric of our life. So, training for the sake of training is training without expectation, without wanting something. I was saying to someone the other day, if we give a gift to somebody because we want something in return, there isn't that joy in giving. There's not that joy that you get from just giving something to somebody without any expectation, even of gratitude, because you want to give it to them. No. That's a joyful kind of giving. No limits, no boundaries, no expectation, no wanting something from them. And training is like that too. When we just give ourselves to it without expectation, without wanting something back, then it's joyful and it's boundless. And there is no limit there. We're not saying, you know, I'll do it for a certain time, then I'll get something. Because we're looking for something and limiting it. If we just give ourselves to our practice, give ourselves to our just sitting, just giving to the precepts, just practicing kindness for the sake of itself, not because we want something, not because we want to be a good person, not because we want to be nicer, but just because it's good to do. Simply that, just to give ourselves to it wholeheartedly and without reservation, then there is joy in it, the joy of giving ourselves to it. No expectation. And this is the antidote to despair and grief and all those things. Just giving ourselves completely really helps with that. Any kind of suffering, to give ourselves completely to what is good to do. When it comes down to it, we train because we want to do it. We want to sit. We want to meditate. We want to keep to the precepts because it is what our heart desires. It's good to do. And even when we feel terrible, there is a joy that underlies that because we're doing what is good to do. Not because we want something, but because we just want to do it. We just want to give. We just want to make that offering of ourselves without expectation. It's all right here, in this very moment, this just sitting, right here. It's not somewhere else, it's not the prize off in the distance that somebody else gets and I don't. It's right here. Whether we see it or not, we can trust that, entrust ourselves to it, give ourselves to it, and that's all. There's nowhere else to look, just here in this very moment. And this is the going on, always going on, always becoming Buddha. Not become Buddha, becoming Buddha. We just go on. And we have everything we need. And when we look, we see this all. It's all right there. When we can't see it, it's right there anyway. We can trust it. And we just keep on going because it's good to do. And that's it. And it's really